Our understanding that birds are all that's left of the dinosaurs is a relatively recent revelation. Paleontologists now mark the division between avian dinosaurs, or birds, and non-avian dinosaurs. Animals such as the famous Stegosaurus, Diplodocus, and, of course, Tyrannosaurus. The split is a scientific symptom of how old our fascination with dinosaurs is, that we began to study and categorize them before we had any idea they were connected to our everyday lives. In fact, we can trace the glimmerings of our persistent affection for dinosaurs back beyond the date when the reptiles were scientifically named. Our fixation did not begin with the moment the word dinosaur was invented by an English anatomist in 1842. People had been uncovering and wondering about dinosaurs for thousands of years by that point. In South Korea, Brazil, and the United States, ancient rock artworks called petroglyphs are sometimes found in close association with prehistoric dinosaur footprints. At one site, in Utah's Zion National Park, some of the petroglyphs are even shaped like the characteristic three-toed footprints left by carnivorous dinosaurs around 200 million years ago. Indigenous peoples the world over recognize that dinosaur footprints, as well as bones and other fossils, were left by unknown creatures from the distant past, bringing them into their cultures long before paleontology even became a science. The fossil footsteps, teeth, and bones non-avian dinosaurs left behind were potent clues that our world was once home to creatures far different from anything humans had seen alive. Imagine coming across the exposed skeleton of a dinosaur, like the three-horned Triceratops, if you had no understanding of what a Triceratops or a dinosaur was. What would you make of the giant bones? Paleontology did not arise from the recognition that dinosaur bones and footprints represent once-living animals, however. The science intellectually sprouted and was formalized in Western Europe through the 18th and 19th centuries, requiring that naturalists and experts dismantle some philosophical baggage around the age of the Earth and the true nature of what fossils are. Fossils prior to the 1700s were not generally recognized as having anything to do with prehistoric life at all. Influenced by Christianity, the prevailing intellectual climate insisted that the world was relatively young and that every living thing had existed from that time in a state of balance. Nothing new evolved, nothing went extinct, and the world simply wasn't old enough for there to be mineralized remains of ancient creatures. People certainly found fossils, but the fact that fossils seemed to be stone animal parts had to be explained away in order for Earth's youth and stability to be maintained. Fossil shark teeth, commonly found in rocks laid down by ancient seas, for example, were not seen for what they clearly were, but had been deemed to be curiosities that fell from the moon by the Roman naturalist Pliny the Elder in 77 CE. The same triangular fossils were later colloquially called glossopetri, and said to be the petrified tongues of snakes St. Paul had turned to stone. Even by the 1600s, as the science of geology began to take shape, German scholar Athanasius Kircher still attributed the fossils to vital forces within the earth that mimicked life. Fossils were not the remains of living things, he proposed, but were natural fakes that were just one form of geological wonder among many, such as stones that superficially resembled eyes or eggs. Any explanation seemed more acceptable than the earth-shaking idea that the world was far older than what the chronologies of the biblical patriarchs suggested, leading scholars to do mental backflips to explain why what clearly looked like shark teeth must be attributable to some other source. It wasn't until 1616 that Italian naturalist Fabio Colonna demonstrated that the shark teeth were organic in origin, not stone. And not until 1669